Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me.
Chapter 2 up there. Originally planned to preach out of Luke chapter 2, but then the Lord changed my mind, and I just didn't get back to the slide there to get that changed for my scripture reading. But appreciate you being here to listen today, and I hope that you'll understand the truth of what we're going to be dealing with. I've said many times, when you come to the message of Christmas, there's only so much that you can say. It is such a great thing that the Lord has done for us. And the scripture tells us in a few places of it. But we want to look at some of these and be reminded and thank the Lord for the reason that he has given us hope of eternal life. This time of year, you hear a lot reminding us of the reason for the season. And that is so needed because we're in such a rush with everything of schedules, people having get-togethers with their families and friends, some office parties that are going on, and then there's, if you want to try to get out with some caroling, we're going to do that, Lord willing, this coming Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Our choir is going to rehearse from 6:30 to 7, and then at 7. We've got several places that we like to go and do some caroling to, and I invite you to be a part of that ministry with us. The choir, you don't have to be in the choir to go caroling with us in our caroling ministry. But looking forward to that. But there's all of these different things that are scheduled. A lot of things that come up unexpectedly as well. And with all of these things in our life, it's sometimes easy to forget about what the real reason of this season is all about. So we're told and reminded so often, it is all about God's great gift. Back in 2009, I wrote a poem dealing with that very subject that I'd like to share with you. I've shared it with you before a couple times, I'm sure. But I entitled it God's Gift on the Hay, and it reads like this. Oh, come see the manger, oh, come one and all, to Bethlehem's stable on our knees we should fall, to see the babe Jesus that was laid on the hay, and worship the Savior that was born Christmas Day. Oh, see in the manger this babe that was laid, became our great Savior, our sins fully paid. As we celebrate Christmas, may we come to see that Jesus came simply to save you and me. From Bethlehem's manger to Calvary's cross, our Savior was willing to suffer great loss. He graciously did it. His gift was in love, that we might inherit his heaven above. And as we trust Jesus, may we come to be his loyal disciples who serve faithfully. And always remember that first Christmas day, God sent us his love in a gift on the hay. And that was the great love gift that the Lord Jesus Christ became as he was born here in this world, taking on human flesh. We praise the Lord about him because Christmas is all about Christ. And we should never forget. And while Christmas for most people is a wonderful time of the year, and I think that it is and for so many reasons, for some others it may not be such a great time. It may be a time of despair, maybe a time of hopelessness, not just because of maybe poverty in their lives, that they don't have anything, or disease, or homelessness. It's hard to think sometimes, but we need to remember that there are homeless people at Christmas as well. But in all of this imperfect world that we live, there is still hope. It's too often things can be going great in our life in one day, and then the next, everything fall apart. Everything change. Many of us have experienced those kind of things. I know last year this time, I was in the hospital with COVID and then home with on oxygen, and Foster was preaching for me. A few times there, and we don't know what's ahead of us from day to day. One day we're feeling pretty good, the next something doesn't feel quite right, and the doctor says cancer. One day things are going pretty good, and then comes an announcement at work, and we're having to lay off, and we're going to have to let you go. A surprise. One day, everything seems to be going good, you may say, and then the next, there's something that happens. Even at 37, a heart attack can come and take a person out of this life. We don't know what holds for us tomorrow, but we do know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
And he is still in control. He is still a God that knows exactly what we're experiencing, and he never fails. Amen. All things still work together for good, and God still helps us not only to will, but to do of his good pleasure. So we praise the Lord for that. We need reminding that God is still in control. We need reminding of these things, but we can come away with a great understanding that God is the God of all hope. And we have received that through his gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one man in the Bible that knew what it was like to have life going pretty good and one day and then the next to have it all fall apart. And I'm not talking about Job, even though that was true. But I'm talking about Joseph. As you think about, as we read here in Matthew chapter 1, he was engaged, espoused to Mary, good-looking girl. I'm sure they were happy, looking forward to their finalization of their marriage. And then all of a sudden, there's the finding out that she's expecting a child. Now, what's Joseph to think? there's only one natural thing for man to think, and that is she's been unfaithful. And so there's a situation that has happened. His life blown apart. What's going on? How has this happened? Why has this happened? He didn't understand, at least I know that I wouldn't. But God stepped in. And in verse 20 of Matthew 1, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord," I believe that was Gabriel, is used of God as well, "the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Oh, that cleared it all up, didn't it? He knew exactly what was going on, right? Well, not really. He knew what the angel said. Evidently, he responded a little bit better than Zacharias. Zacharias, David shared in Sunday school this morning, was, remember, got the news while he was in the temple as a priest, burning incense unto the Lord. And the angel appeared unto him and said, "Fear not, thy prayer has been answered. And your wife is, you know, going to have a child in her old age." And then he asked a question. He says, "Look, how can I know for sure that this is going to happen?" And I picture it this way as you read in Scripture. Gabriel steps back and he says, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And I told you what God is going to do. And because you believe not, you're going to be dumb. I believe also deaf," according to what you read later. He could not speak. He could only motion with his hands. And they had to even ask him when John, his son, was born, and they named him John and said, "Hey, there's none others named by that." They had to write out and say, "What do you want him called?" That's why I think he was deaf as well. And he wrote and says, "His name is John." God released his voice, and he was able to speak. Praise God for the testimony that he gave. He didn't believe. We don't read that about Joseph here. The angel told him what was happening. And as much as it may have been difficult for you and I to put ourselves in that position and say, "Would I have believed the angel?" The indication is that Joseph did. And he accepted what was spoken unto him, what was communicated unto him, and God stepped in. What a great hope that God brought into the world through that that particular answer. Hope is not something that we just wish maybe will be true. In Scripture, hope is more of a confident assurance that's shared. One commentator made this statement. He says it refers to sure, certain expectations which, because they're still in the future, create in us a sense of anticipation, a confidence. We anticipate what God is going to do. Therefore, we have great hope, a surety. And Joshua 23 and verse 14, it tells us that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Why do we have confidence in what God says? Because everything that God has ever said in his word has come true just the way that God said it. Amen. That is the confidence that we have. We don't have to hope with unsurety. We can hope with confidence. We can look forward to and anticipate what God is doing. All of his promises, all of his prophecy, all of it is sure. Today I want us to look, though, at the reason for hope. And that's the title of the message. And I'm going to ask God that would help us to come away with that great expectation and understanding of the hope that he has given us through Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for this time of year. I thank you for your word that you preserved to us. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and true, and that we can put our confidence in you. And I thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that we can have confidence, Lord, that he is the hope of eternal life, that you have promised it, and that you do not lie. And we thank you, Father, for that confidence that we can have today. And may we leave out of here even more so assured and have a better understanding and grip upon what you have said of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may answer the questions of others who ask. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to look at the pronouncement of hope that is seen here in verse 18. As we read down, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." We have in this pronouncement here that God gives to Joseph and Mary, it's told of their relationship. They were espoused. In our culture today, people get engaged before they get married here. But in their culture of that day, there was an arrangement between the groom and the father of the bride that they were going to get married. And there would be a contract of marriage that would be given. And they were legally bound in marriage, even though there would be a separation for approximately a year before they would actually come together in intimacy and have it consummated. So we have in this time slot that is there that is talking about that they were espoused together in that period. And so we have this espoused couple that is under this contract. Legally, they were married in the Jewish law, but there was this time that they were to stay apart, and it was because of this too that there would be proven purity on the part of the bride. Well, that didn't necessarily take place as she was found with child, but then of course, as we said, God explained. We see not only that there was an espoused couple, but we see a pure couple. There are many versions of the Bible that are out there. Some of them are what we would call perversions. And some of them have an agenda of changing doctrine. And in one area that you'll find it is there are some versions that want to change the word virgin just to a young woman. And they're trying to get away from the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you cannot get away from the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If you take the virgin birth of Jesus Christ away, you take away everything. And if you don't understand how that works, I'll be glad to preach another message dealing with that particular subject. But with the virgin birth, it is so important that we understand that. The New Testament word for virgin means a woman who has never had sexual relations with a man. Virgin in the New Testament is not only just used of Mary here, but it also is described of Mary here when it says in verse 18, before they came together physically. That is what it's talking about. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Mary said to Gabriel, when Gabriel, the angel, announced it to her, he said, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man? I am a virgin." It made it clear of what she was saying. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." What was the sign that was being given? That there would be a Jewish boy born named Emmanuel. How many of them was it? You know, the only sign that there was is that there was a virgin that gave birth. That was the key. That was the sign that was there. All of these things work together to show us the reality of the fact that Mary was a virgin. And the scriptures declare it over and over, protecting the doctrine the virgin birth, not only because it is important of who Jesus was, it also declared that he did not have a human father. Why was that important? Would you know that sin came into the world by one man? Now, what one woman sinned before that one man? Eve sinned before Adam, but sin did not come into the world by Eve. Sin came into the world, God says, by Adam. And sin nature is passed down upon every individual human being by our human father. Thank you, Dad, for that. We dads pass down a sin nature. Jesus did not have a human dad. He did not have then a sin nature. Neither did he choose to sin. And therefore, he was sinless. And he is the only sinless human in the flesh that has ever lived. And therefore, he was the only human in the flesh that could qualify to be our substitute. Amen. To die on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
God had it all planned.
Amen.
And it included the virgin birth. Paul said it in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. You see, God had the plan of what he would do in bringing the Lord Jesus into this world. One commentator made this statement. He says, of the virgin birth, he says, don't try to explain it. You'll lose your mind. Don't try to deny it. You'll lose your soul. It is so important for us to understand the truth of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pronouncement of hope. There was the pondering of Joseph that we see in verses 19 and 20. In verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And God explained it, and he gives us the understanding of what Joseph was thinking. We can only imagine in our minds what was going through in his head. Excuse me. And Joseph's dream of being happily married ever after was coming to a disastrous end. Excuse me. But God cleared it up for him. Notice three things about Joseph's pondering. Excuse me. It says, first of all, he pondered justly. He was a just man, verse 19. Just means righteous. I need a timeout. The devil don't like this. He was a just man, righteous. He observed God's laws. It carries with it the idea that he was obedient unto the Lord, unto the law of God. So I'm sure he was pondering, what am I supposed to do according to God's law? How am I supposed to respond to this? He pondered compassionately. Verse 19 says that he was a merciful man because he didn't want to make a public example of her. He didn't want to embarrass her or anything in front of her family and friends with what was going on. And so instead of humiliating her that way, he was going to put her away privately. And then we read that he pondered patiently. He did not react to the news the way I may have reacted or you may have reacted. You know that we have a tendency when we hear things that's not so good, we sometimes react to those things in a negative way. I think it's very hard not to react. That's why I've told you before, you know, reactions speak louder than our actions. Because reactions really show what's there. We don't have time to think. Anybody can sit in church and act right. But when we put in the middle of something and the heat is on, how we react shows a whole lot about what's in the heart. And so it's important for us to realize that we need to be asking for the Holy Spirit's control over our reactions, not just our actions. He was patient and he did not react there, but he did trust the Lord. He waited on the Lord. That's hard to do. It's hard to wait on God's timing. But you know, God is never late. It's hard to wait on things when we're uncertain of what's ahead. It's one of the greatest fears that we can have as human beings, the fear of the unknown. One of the greatest frustrations that I have in my life is when I've got to do something and I don't know how to do it. How do I go about doing that? It's easy to get frustrated. We need to be careful. We need to wait. We need to trust the Lord. It's hard to do. He pondered. Joseph did. And then we see the provision of the Lord in verse 21. He shall bring forth a son. She shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Wow. What a plan. God had a plan. I'm sure Joseph had many questions. He could have asked many things. I would have. How many of you remember what it's like to have a three-year-old at home? What's the number one question of a three-year-old? Why? Why do dogs bark? Why is the sky blue? Why have I got to go to bed? Why, you know, why? I want to know why. Are we there yet? That's the next one. When we don't understand what God is doing, we have a tendency to ask those questions too. God, why aren't you doing what I would think you should be doing? Why aren't you doing it now? When I would want you to do it. And how? We sometimes act kind of like a three-year-old spiritually. Instead of trusting the Lord with his way and his time, we want God to act within our way and our time. And we need to know that God has a plan for us, just like he had a plan for the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world, the hope of our eternal life. God is always good, and God always has a plan. There's a well-known song, I'm sure you probably have heard it. The lyrics go, God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Do you trust the Lord with what he's doing? It's a lot of things in this life that we can't see God's hand. We can't know exactly what God is doing, but we can trust him. And we should trust him. God's plan was miraculous. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, the angel said. Not only was this the virgin birth, but since God was her father, he which was born was God himself. That's what John 1 tells us. In the beginning was the Word. God the Son, the second person of the Godhead. The Word, the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Christmas. That's the Lord Jesus Christ putting on human flesh. God the Son, born into this world. Therefore, not only was his name Jesus, but his name was Emmanuel, God with us. That's who was born that we celebrate. God with us. If there was no Christmas, there would be no cross. There would be no hope of eternal life. God's provision offers salvation. Excuse me. In verse 21, it says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Excuse me. Luke 2, verse 11. What do the angels say? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus said of himself in Luke 10:19, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's the Savior. He's came for that reason. The word Jesus in the Hebrew means Jehovah is salvation. All a part of God's plan. Jesus came for the specific purpose that our sins could be forgiven and our sins could be removed. Sacrificial animals covered the sins in the Old Testament, but he could not remove them. It took the Lamb of God dying on Calvary's cross, being raised again the third day by the Father, I believe is a sign, a token, that his sacrifice sufficed all that was necessary. And he did so that we could have our sins not just covered, but completely removed. Amen. We're forgiven and our sins are gone completely. Praise the Lord for what he has done. We also have the specific purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, who could give unto us everlasting peace with God the Father. We have been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the cross. We praise the Lord for what he accomplished in the hope that we have of eternal life. The expectation of what Jesus has done when he died there on Calvary for us. He died for you. Have you received the gift of Christmas? We praise the Lord for what we know that took place there on that first Christmas morn. You might wonder how Joseph took the news that was given to him as we thought about his reactions. And all we can say is that there was not a reaction. There was just an action. He obeyed what the angel said. And when Jesus was born, he, it says, verse 25, Joseph called his name Jesus. It's important for us to see. Our reaction should not be just a reaction, but it should be an action that we ought to be obedient unto the Lord as well. What is it, Christian, today that the Lord is telling you? What have you got in mind that God maybe be changing your mind about? What is it that's happening in your life right now that maybe is shaking you a little bit from what you thought this Christmas would be like? God is greater than any mountain in our life. Amen. And we can trust him. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, Job said. What does the rest of the statement say? Blessed in the name of the Lord. Good. Our God is good all the time. Do you have that assurance today that you could say, I know I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? I know that, there's nothing between me and my Savior. I have not let any sins creep into my life, but I have repented and confessed that unto the Lord. Or has God put his finger on something today and said, there's something between you and me? Are you willing to give that to the Lord today? Remember what he has given for us. What are we willing to give to him today? Every head bowed, please. Joseph didn't understand everything that was happening, but he trusted God with it all. There are things that happen in our lives that we don't understand all of what God is doing or will do, but are we willing to trust him with it all? I hope that's your decision today. Father, I pray that as we have looked into your word this morning, as we've been reminded of what Joseph did, Lord, may we respond in the same way, believing you in your word, believing you of who you are to us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your faithfulness. And Lord, thank you for the reason that we can have hope, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we celebrate here at Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.